Exodus chapter 32 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it for ever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. And the tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as they came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbour. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, And now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading from his word. When Aaron made the golden calf for the children of Israel to worship, Moses was still in Mount Sinai receiving the two tablets of stone bearing the Ten Commandments that had been written by God, and instruction concerning the tabernacle, the construction of the tabernacle, its materials, its form, its furniture, and its purpose in worship. And Moses had been absent from the children of Israel for 40 days. And now the Lord told Moses of the terrible events taking place in the camp below. And we note that God did not send Moses down before the suggestion of the idol was first made, or even the day that it was made. He allowed the wickedness of the people and the weakness of Aaron to be fully exposed. Sometimes people suggest that God hates it when evil things happen and say that he's weak to stop them. But God allows men and women, he allows us to express our evil nature. And thereby we bring judgment down on our own heads. Sin is man's fault, and it is never chargeable against God. God tells Moses that he will destroy the people because they are so wicked, and instead he will make a great nation of Moses, and so bring about by another way the covenant promises of the Messiah through Moses' family. And in anger, God distanced himself from the children of Israel, saying that they were Moses' people and that Moses had brought them out of Egypt. But we see Moses pleading with the Lord not to destroy the children of Israel, not to hurt them in his anger, because, says Moses, doing so would give our enemies cause to speak ill against the Lord. And it would also undermine the promises that God had made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, or Israel as Moses calls him. And Moses in this is a very humble man. He's called a meek man, and here we see that meekness or that humility coming to the fore. When he could have accepted this great honour of the nation of Israel, as it were, flowing through his family, rather he takes the role of intercessor and he pleads for the forgiveness of the people's sins. Later in the passage, in verse 32, Moses even suggests that he's willing to die rather than have the people slain. And he offers himself as a substitute for the people. In both of these acts, Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who really did die as our substitute and who presently intercedes for us in heaven. However, what we find is that when Moses returns to the Israelite camp, He is disgusted by the things that he sees, and he smashes the stone tablets that God had given him with the Ten Commandments written on them by the hand of God himself. He smashes those to demonstrate how the people have broken God's law and how much they deserve to be punished. And now it is Moses' anger that waxes hot. Now, we read that several times, and I just want to mention it to you. Waxes hot has nothing to do with hot wax. Wax means to grow or to increase, like the moon waxes when it is getting bigger. And here we see that Moses' anger grew progressively. The more he saw of the people's wickedness, the more his anger grew, the more it waxed hot. And Moses picks up the calf and he throws it in the fire, he grinds it into dust, he sprinkles the dust and the ashes into the water, and he makes the people to drink of it to show them how weak and disgusting their idol God really is. And he tries to get the story about what has happened from Aaron. And we find that Aaron is what might be called economical with the truth, which means that he only tells Moses the bits that don't make him look so very bad. And Moses calls for men who will be faithful to the Lord, who will stand up, and he cries, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And the Levites join him, men from the tribe of Levi, and he tells them to go through the camp and to slay those who joined in the worship of the golden calf. And we are told that 3,000 are killed that day. Probably these are 3,000 from the tribe of Levi, and it may well be that there was other elements of judgment went through different parts of the camp. But this is a very significant chapter in the history of Israel, and it is often mentioned in Scripture for an example of wickedness, for truly it was a wicked act. It shows us that sin and evil is a constant threat. Even amongst people who have been greatly blessed by God, they can quickly do things completely against him, do and say terrible things. And believers are not immune from doing great wrong. We pray that the Lord will withhold us from great sin. But Aaron was a believer, and later he served as the high priest. But in this act, he showed himself to be a terrible sinner. And we're reminded, just as Moses interceded for Aaron and for the people, the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for his people, not relying on the arguments that Moses used with God, but pointing rather to his own blood and to the cross and to the sacrifice that he made and that was accepted on our behalf by God. And we're reminded also by this account how even when we have sinned greatly against the Lord, there is a great forgiveness and a great cleansing to be had in Christ's blood. Some people might wonder what it means when the Bible says that God repented. Usually we think of repenting as saying sorry for something that we've done. And that's true for us. But when it is used of God, it means something slightly different. It means that God is changing his stated will. He does not do what he has threatened to do, but he takes another course of action than was first set out or first proposed. Nor does it mean that God changes his mind, but it is said to explain to us the reasons why God doesn't act in one way, but rather acts in another way towards men and women. And I'm sure that there are many interesting things in this chapter, which is a fairly big chapter that we could spend time. But I just want to mention one more thing with respect to the book that is spoken of at the end of this passage. Moses asked God to forgive the people. And if not, he says in verse 32, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And this tells us that God has a book or a record containing people's names. Now, what book is this? It seems as though Moses knew about the Lamb's Book of Life, which the Apostle John speaks about in the book of Revelation, right at the end of the New Testament. And this book, the Lamb's Book of Life, contains the names of all those that were given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the covenant of grace and for whom he died upon the cross. Perhaps, in fact, because we've already said that it was the Lord Jesus who was speaking to Moses on the mountain, perhaps the Lord had shown that book to Moses on Sinai, and Moses had seen his name written there. And if that is indeed the case, then there's something very powerful here. In verse 33, the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now, Psalm chapter 60, or Psalm 60 verse 28, tells us that this blotting out of the book is the same as never having had your name written there. It means that all men and women, boys and girls who live and die in unbelief and without forgiveness of their sins will be shown never to have had their names written in this book of life. Now, maybe you say to me, well, I have sinned. Does that mean that my name is not in the book of life? I have said and done things against God. I have broken God's commandments. And that is true. You have. I have. But this is the great difference between Moses and Christ. Moses was a sinner like us, and he needed a saviour just as we do. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, took our sin on his own body, into his own soul. He became sin for us by taking our sin from us and making it his own. So that God sees us not only as having no sin, but as never having sinned. He justifies us in his sight. He makes us righteous. He does not impute sin to us, but rather he graciously and mercifully lays all our sin upon his own dear Son who died in our place. And in that sense, we have not sinned against God, because God has taken all our sin and placed it to the charge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice was satisfied and God was satisfied when the Lord died for the sin that we committed. Moses never could do this for the people, despite a willingness to sacrifice himself for them. Moses learned a lesson that day. Only the spotless Lamb of God could take away sin. May the Lord teach us all that great truth and cause us to believe it to the salvation of our souls and to trust thereby that our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.